Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
I don't profess to remember all 500 sermons I've ever preached in my whole life. I know I should, but I don't think I've ever preached from James, and it's going to be interesting because the church year offers us a chance to take five portions out of James, and so I'm going to preach today. Every Sunday in September will include an element of James. For those of you that are familiar with James, I'm going to read a little bit from that portion, which is probably the most famous portion. The one most people seem to know something about, and it's this idea of the fact that faith without works is dead. Faith without works means nothing. I think during the body of the sermon, I will probably address a little bit of the context that I think of what's going on, so I think I'll cover that then, if that's okay. So we're reading from James chapter 1. Page 229 of the pew in the Pew Bible, and I'm going to start reading in the middle of a passage, verse 17, and I'm going to read down to verse 27. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. In my particular Bible, I've got that one bracketed with underlined. I wonder if at some point in time in the past I've written myself a note on that one. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if they are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty and perseverance, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
I mentioned this last Sunday when I was at Trinity African Methodist Episcopal Church. I ran the Boston Marathon in 1988. I weigh 200 pounds now, actually 199.7, but who's counting? And that day that I ran the Boston Marathon, I weighed 150 pounds. I had people sometimes would come up to me when I would run fast in a race. I could run a 10 kilometers in about 38 minutes. That's about over 6 miles. And they would come up to me and said, if I looked like you looked, I could run fast too. If I looked like you looked, I could run fast too. I told that to my son-in-law this summer, and his comment was, Well, they seemed to like the finished product. They seemed to like the finished product. Does anybody think that Sue just fell off the truck this morning and decided to sing that this morning? No. No. I assure you that is years of work that Sue has put into that to be able to come in here and do what she did this morning. She had to sort of set aside her normal nervousness to stand in front. I have stood in front of people and sung. It's one of the scariest things you can do, okay? It really is. It really is. It's almost like borderline standing naked on a corner, okay? And hoping that people won't point at you and say, "My gosh, you're ugly," okay? And that's sort of in your mind. That's not the way people actually think, but that's the way you think of it. But the finished product that Sue put before us today was exquisite. It was beautiful. It was transcendent. It took us to a different place. What Sue sang, and then what you sang a few minutes ago about heart, is what I want to come back to. For those of you that remember my reflection in the middle of March, it talked about what the heart meant and how we should understand the heart. In particularly the Old Testament, which is, and I'll get to how this impacts the New Testament in a second, but particularly in the Old Testament, we need to understand the heart not as a thing goes lub-dub, lub-dub, lub-dub. It's rather this element that helps define our character. Who are we? We want our heart to be changed. What was Sue singing for? I want to be a Christian in my heart. She's talking about becoming a little Christ with the poetry she's saying. What did we sing in preparation for the sermon? It was, "Come into my heart." And then we said we want it to come out of our heart. What we're basically saying is we want our character to be changed. We want our character to become like Christ. We want it to look like Christ. Christians means little Christs. That's where the invitation is. Now, sometimes we get this idea. We get this idea, like the person who talked to me in 1988 and said to me, "Gosh, if I looked like you, I could run fast too," without an understanding that I had gotten to that look by having run about 10,000 miles over about 7 years to get to that point. Okay? It was a long struggle to get there. Sue put in hundreds of hours of rehearsal and practice to get herself to the point where she could stand in front of you and do this. Jack has a lot of training in how to do a sound system. He just doesn't wander into the building and say, "I'm going to turn the sound system on and make it work," okay? He instead has a lot of information about that. Now, I want you to put a bookmark in that for a second, because I want to talk just for a second about this passage out of James and in relation to what's going on probably with Paul. Paul in Galatians is dealing with a very specific set of circumstances. He has people that have shown up in central Turkey, what we now call central Turkey, and talking to the people there and saying, in order to truly be a Christian, you must be Jewish. Okay? You must be circumcised, you must keep the high holy days, you must eat kosher, and that is what it means to be Christian. And so what Paul is saying there in that context is faith is what matters. But he's dealing with a situation of extremes. The extreme is that people have come into his context and said faith is secondary to work. And what Paul is essentially saying is, no, there's a balance between the two. You have to have a balance between the two. Faith and work is important. Whenever we read Paul and we think that all Paul ever wants to focus on is only faith, we're missing two-thirds or three-fourths of Paul, because Paul can get real excited about people that don't, they talk the talk but don't walk the walk, right? We have the same kind of thing going on here with James, but it's the reverse. Many believe that Paul's words about faith being so important have gotten back to James. James is the brother of Jesus. That's according to the church tradition. James is the brother of Jesus. He'll be martyred about 62 or so A.D., roughly about the same time that Paul would be executed in Rome. And he's dealing with an extreme. Some people have come into him and said, Faith is all that matters. Faith is all that matters. And what he is saying here is no, faith is not all that matters. It must be balanced with the way you actually work it out. Okay? You must be demonstrably a little Christ. Now, that can scare some of us. That can scare some of us. In 1981, when I decided that I was going to do some marathoning, I couldn't have qualified for the Boston Marathon. All right? But that didn't deter me. I kept at it. I was in a state of becoming a better runner, slowly but surely. Just kept working at it, working at it, working at it. We sometimes have this idea. We get ourselves into this idea of the fact that we're going to be perfect, just like that, okay? And that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. What we want to have happen is we want our heart to be changed. And sometimes some elements of our heart are changed a lot overnight. And other elements of it are very slowly changed. We become. We move closer and closer and closer to being little Christs in the world. And we eventually get to a place where we don't only just talk the talk, we walk the talk. We walk the talk. I haven't mentioned the words Dietrich Bonhoeffer for a while here, but I confess to you, his words have a tremendous appeal to me. His words speak to me. His words from 1938 speak to me as if they were written this morning at times. But part of the appeal that Bonhoeffer has for me is that he just doesn't talk the talk. Bonhoeffer walked the talk. He walked it. He lived it out to the point of getting executed by the Germans for his faithfulness. Here's the big idea for us. The big idea for us is that in this passage in James, he is laying out for us the fact that if you're a person of faith, a faithful person, a person who wants to become like Christ in the world, there's a becoming that needs to go on. And that becoming is this idea of slowly but surely becoming more like Jesus in the world. More like Jesus in the world, so that when people encounter you, they can sit down and say, well, if I had your faith, I could be like you too. They're saying they like the finished product that you have become. And your task is to encourage them in their own journey along that way. Faith and works are important. You often start it off with faith. You get started on this journey by having this aha moment. But it doesn't stop there. Slowly but surely, over and over again, you keep working at becoming like Christ in the world until you get to a place where the finished product that you are can cause people to come up to you and say, well, if I had your faith, I could do work like you too as well. And what they don't realize is that you haven't always been like that. You have been someone who grew and grew and grew. It's a both and, not an either or. It's both faith and works. It's not either faith or works.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.